the main reason that we rightly divide the scriptures and that we rightly divide the events in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and rightly divide the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, is so we know which gospel God is offering now with the promise of salvation to save us, so that we know, we know enough not to trust in a gospel that has stopped, God has stopped offering. Israel fell. Israel was away to God. Israelites were told to repent from going away from God. Change your mind about who Jesus is. Repent means to change your mind. And they were told to change your mind about who Jesus is. He's not Baal. He's not Molech or Rephim or Ishtar. Any of these false gods that they kept going after and going after. They were to repent. They were to change their mind and come back to believing that God was the God of heaven, the God of the creation. And they were to believe that Jesus was the one that he sent, that was, forecast, the one that was prophesied to be born of a virgin in Micah 5:2, that was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem, the one that was prophesied that he would be a prophet from the people like unto Moses in Deuteronomy 18. He was prophesied all over that he would be that he would bear the sins of Israel, that he would be not left in hell, that he would not leave his soul in hell. So many prophecies about Jesus, and yet they rejected him. So we need to know what is for us. What is God offering us? Not offering Noah. You know, it doesn't help us to go out and build an ark. That saved Noah, yeah. But it wouldn't save us. It wouldn't save Noah to sit back and just believe that Christ had died for his sins when he hadn't died for them yet, and when that wasn't the promise God gave him. Build an ark, he said. Build an ark and you'll be saved. So we need to find out what our salvation is. And welcome to the room. But first of all, we have to know what to trust. We have to trust God. If you don't trust God and his understanding, you need to grow in faith. And the only way to grow in faith is to read God's word, to hear it. Read it, hear it, take it in. Romans 10:17 says, I forgot to get somebody to ask somebody if they would post the verses, but if somebody can, that would help. Let's stick to the topic at hand, please. But Romans 10:17 says, so then faith, if that's what you're lacking, faith in God that he exists or that he loves you or that he provided a plan or that he will keep his promise to save you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Get into the word of God if you don't trust God yet. And if you don't trust his word, if you find self-contradictions in his word, get a Bible that doesn't have self-contradictions. I know my King James Bible doesn't have any contradictions in it. All those places where you find contradictions in the modern translations, they're not in the King James. Where you find self-contradictions, where a Bible contradicts itself, a book, any book that contradicts itself can't be without error. It's got errors of self-contradiction. And God's Word is pure. Let's look at that about the Bible and the purity of the Bible. All scripture in the Bible is inspired of God. The Bible tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. And that's for instruction in righteousness. So whether it's inspired by the Holy Ghost, you know, part of it, 2 Peter 1:21 tells us, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved by the Holy Ghost to speak words of Scripture. Words that were written down and we read today in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew epistles. The Holy Ghost inspired some of the Scriptures. Some of the Scriptures were inspired by Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 26, verse 16. But rise, stand. This is talking about Paul, and I'm not sure whether it's Jesus talking or Jesus having told Ananias to tell him, rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee. So it was Jesus Christ speaking to Paul. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and here it is, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So Christ told Paul at his point of salvation that he was going to make appearances to him, revelations to him. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37, years later. If any man think himself to, this is what Paul was saying to those in Corinth, those believers, they were believers, if any man think himself to be a prophet, so here's the definition of a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So the Lord inspired Paul. He writes it down. We can read it or we can reject it. God doesn't force us to read it, to take in His Word. If you want to know more about God, you can take it in. If you want more faith, you can realize that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But the Bible tells us that those same Scriptures that were recorded originally are preserved intact down through the centuries to us today. Look at Psalms. Look at Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7 we'll look at. And some people say this refers back to earlier verses, but that's just not the way grammar works. It refers to, you know, the object. It refers back, you know, the verb. The verb conditions the subject to form the object. But the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's how pure the words of Scripture are. So, well, let's go on. That's verse 6. Verse 7, talking about the words, the pure words, thou shalt keep them, what he's just talked about, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So those pure words are available today. If you believe what God said in His Word in the Bible in Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. And that includes copies and translations brought down to our language today. That's one way that God preserved the truth, through copies and through translations. The King James Bible uses manuscripts from the ancient Byzantine text from the apostolic churches. They're formed in Asia Minor, in that Byzantine area, and it rejects the corrupted, error-filled Alexandrian text, which is used by almost all the translations since 1881. Almost all of them. There are a couple exceptions, but they are not as good as the King James. Not as many scholars worked on it, as many highly qualified scholars, and it's not as easily available. It's better for memory work. Anyway, so the King James Version of the Bible is the complete revelation from God for English-speaking people, and it's the only complete revelation from God that's still with us today. It's our final authority. you have to make that your choice or choose not to have a final authority in the Word of God. But I believe God, I believe what He said, and I believe it was brought down to us in the King James Version for us to read and study and grow in our faith and edify ourselves and others. If we do not agree with the King James Version of the Bible, then we do not agree with the Bible or with God. It'll greatly help us when we come to understand the divisions that God has placed in the Bible. All the Bible is inspired of God, but as we saw earlier, large parts of it were inspired by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1 verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Do you believe that? It wasn't by the will of man deciding to write down something. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. However the Holy Ghost moved them, they spake. It was written down, and we have it today. The Bible says that the prophecy portions of the Bible were inspired by the Holy Ghost. But the Bible says that the remainder of the Bible, the mystery portions, are different. They were inspired by the Lord Jesus Christ, directly to Paul. Paul, Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, was the receiver of the revelations that were inspired of God and he wrote down. We've got them in his epistles. We've got the Word of God. Use it. I mean, you know, we read what they say in People magazine. Why not read what the God of creation says? We're going to have a future a lot longer than the 80 years or so that we spend here. You know, it's a good investment, if nothing else, to read the Bible and to study it and to take heed to what it says. Some of these verses that show us that God inspired His Word to Paul for us, look at a couple that we already looked at here. Look at Acts 26:16 again. "But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." And going to Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's not talking about the gospel of God. That's talking about the gospel of Christ, because the gospel of God had been around before Paul was converted. The gospel of Christ, that Christ died for your sins, believe on Him to life everlasting, that was not around until Paul was saved. That was a new pattern that the Lord Jesus Christ initiated at that time. And that's the only way to be saved today. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." Again, we saw that before, but it applies here. 2 Corinthians 12:7. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations." He had many, many revelations from Christ. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Lest I should be exalted. Jesus Christ commissioned Paul, I mentioned before, as his only apostle of the Gentiles. So let's look at that. Look at Romans 11:13. We're trying to build a base here that we know we can trust. We can trust what God says in the Bible, in the verses that He gives us in the King James Bible. Look at Romans 11:13. "For I speak to you, Gentiles, as inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify not myself. He says, I magnify mine office, that office of being an apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles. That's a different office than the office of apostles to Israel. The 12 apostles were Israel's apostles. So the Lord did make him the apostle of the Gentiles, but he also sent him to the Jews and to the Greek Gentiles, as Paul's manner was. If you look in Acts 17, verses 1 and 2, we can see that. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And what did he reason? What does he mean by reasoning? And what did he reason with them? It says, as his manner was, he went into them, and three Sabbath days he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. And I don't have that quoted here, but let me just quote it or post it. Verse 3, not in the verse list. Opening, when he reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, it says he opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered, he died, was risen again, the resurrection, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Messiah, is Christ. Welcome to the room. So that's what he's talking about. When people say we're going to reason with you out of the Scriptures, and they go off on their own speculations, that's not right. That's going against the Scriptures. The Scripture defines what it means by reasoning out of the Scriptures as being opening and alleging from the Scriptures the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, and that he is risen from the dead, the resurrection. So, going on. But let's take out of this that we just read, it was his manner to do this. He would go to a town, find a synagogue where the Jews met. He would meet with the Jews, and three Sabbath days, however long their Sabbath meeting was, he would talk to them and reason with them out of the Scriptures that Jesus is the Son of God, that he's risen from the dead, and that this Jesus is the Christ. Try to persuade them of who Jesus is. You know, they're Jews. They're apostate Jews. They are apostate because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was from God. They thought he was a fake. So you can save the questions for the end. I'll be glad to handle them in a few minutes. Going on to Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, that's the salvation gospel. That's not just information about who Jesus is. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So there's those two qualifiers. You have to believe, and to be saved by the gospel of Christ, you had to be a Jew or a Greek. That's not exactly a sufficient way to put it. It says it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's who it was sent to. But had someone else heard it, they could have been saved by it too. But it's just, you know, it's the thing about Romans, I'm trying to think, I think it was 10, 14, and 15 and 16 in through there, says, how can they call on somebody they don't believe in, and how can they believe if they haven't heard of him? Well, Paul wasn't sent to preach to the rest of the world yet, just to the Jews and the Greeks in the synagogues, or that type of person. And if they had heard, they could be saved, but they hadn't heard yet. we hadn't heard. People like us that hadn't any chance to bless Israel to be saved before Israel fell. That continued on through Acts 19, from the time of Acts 13 when Paul first went out preaching the salvation message, first that we know of in the scriptures, all the way to Acts 19 verse 10. It says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." Still, it was sent to the Jews and the Greeks. The Jews and the Greeks were who Paul was going to find and to preach to. If others heard it, fine. They could believe too. But not many did, if any. I don't know of a single case in the scriptures where an alien Gentile that hadn't blessed Israel got saved by hearing got the gospel of Christ preached to them, the gospel of salvation. They did get the gospel of God preached to them. You can see that in Acts 17 in Athens there. It says they preached unto him Jesus, you know, who Jesus is, and the resurrection, that Jesus rose from the dead. And they mocked him. They didn't accept that part, and they didn't get to hear how to get saved then. Acts 9, verse 15, it tells that Paul was not only sent to Gentiles, not only sent to the Jews and the Greeks, the people that God had been working with, but he was sent to kings. Look at 9:15, Acts 9:15. "But the Lord said unto him," now this is the Lord talking to Ananias to go and straighten, help Saul of Tarsus get his sight back and find out what God had planned for him. He says, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles." And we saw that he's the apostle of the Gentiles. "And before kings and the children of Israel." So, but, you know, they're not in that order. He didn't get sent to the Gentiles until Acts 20, and he probably didn't go to them. He preached about going to them, but he probably didn't go to them until after Acts 28, verse 29. And he didn't, you know, he started off, it says, I don't have it in the verse list, but Acts 9, verse 20 tells who he went to first. And it wasn't the Gentiles, so this is not in order here. It's not supposed to be in the. It's not in chronological order. It's not ascending. It's not even ascending. It's just telling what's going to happen in his life. He's going to bear Christ's name before the Gentiles. That's what he's done. That's what we read in Paul's epistles. And before kings, that's the middle one, and then before the children of Israel. Well, in actuality, it says, and straightway, this is right after he was saved, straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So he's preaching to Israel about the gospel of God right away. And that's the last thing mentioned here. As far as kings, look in Acts 27, verse 24. Later, much later than he started preaching to Israel, it says, saying, "Fear not, God." This is what Paul had written, and it's to Paul, and the message came, saying, "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all of them that are with thee, that sail with thee." That was in the shipwreck. He was on his way to Rome to testify, to witness to the grace of God before Caesar. Kings. And I think it's Acts 23:11 is the first mention of him ever going to a king or being going, other than 9:15 in Acts. But it tells that he is going to go and appear before kings. And we know that he appeared before Agrippa in Acts 26, who was a king. But not only was he sent to Jews, to Gentiles, and to kings, and then to Jews, the other way around. Jews to kings to Gentiles, but also to us, to all people. People that hadn't blessed Israel. People that weren't kings. They were just plain old sinners. Look at Acts 22, verses 17. We'll start with Acts 22, 17, and go through verse 21. And we're going to see Paul reciting what happened to him in Acts 18, verse 22, when he saw the temple vision there, saw Christ, and his sending to all people. It wasn't his sending, it was, as you'll see in the wording of the verses, it was Christ telling Paul that in the future he would send Paul to all men. And that would be in the future from when the temple vision was in Acts 18:22, and it actually happened in Acts 20. So let's read it. Verse 17, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem..." So this wasn't his first trip back to Jerusalem. It's another a later trip. "Even while I prayed in the temple..." This is not on the Damascus Road either, is it? It's in the temple in Jerusalem. "I was in a trance, and I saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." In other words, Paul, if you tell them what I'm going to tell you and reveal to you, they'll kill you. You get out of Jerusalem immediately. "Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me." And I said, "Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen, thy martyr Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." That's not the Jews and the Gentiles. That's far away, doctrinally away from going to Jews anymore or to kings. Just to the Gentiles. And we see him raising funds for that. Look at 2 Corinthians 10, verses 15 and 16. "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you," talking to Corinth, people in Corinth, "and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." So he's hoping that they will give funds, that he'll be enlarged by them, and be able to go out and preach. He was going to go out anyway, but it just made it possible. They were participants in the spreading of the gospel beyond the Jews and the Greeks and the kings, spreading it to people like us, to every man. Look at Philippians 4, 15 and 16. "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel..." So he's talking about when a gospel began, a certain gospel. "You know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia..." So there was a beginning of the gospel when he departed from Macedonia. "No church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity." He had necessity at that time, back then. But the time he's talking about is—I didn't put it in the verse list, but it's Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Macedonia. Philippi is a major city in the province of Macedonia. So when he sailed away from Philippi, he was sailing away from Macedonia. "And we sailed away from Philippi," which is in Macedonia, "after the days of unleavened bread, and came to them, unto them to Troas." That's his first stop after he sailed away from Macedonia, which he says in Philippians 4:15 up there, is the beginning of the gospel. That's when the sending that Christ told them about in Acts 18, verse 22, that he would be sent to all people, that's when it occurred, when he left Macedonia, Philippi, Macedonia, there in Acts 20, verse 6. So, the first place he stopped was Troas, and that's the only place it's ever recorded that he preached all night. He preached all night. Okay, thank you for being here. Let's look at one more verse about Paul's being sent to all the Gentiles. Look at the summary verse of his life. That would be verse 7 in 2 Timothy 4. I'm looking at 10 verses later, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Do you see the difference there? Look at Romans. If you look briefly at Romans 11, verse 11, that was, he says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through Israel's fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles. It doesn't say what many people read into that. 2 Timothy 4:17 is different than Romans 11:11. It says salvation is come unto the Gentiles in Romans 11:11, but 2 Timothy 4:17 at the end of his ministry, that all the Gentiles might hear. And it's not all the Gentiles that he was sent to in Romans 11:11. It was the Jews and the Greeks. And you can see that over and over. You can see it in the Old Testament. It was not a mystery that he was sent to the Jews and the Greeks. That was prophesied in, Deuteronomy 32:21, I think it was. And it was even quoted by Paul as a basis for what he was doing in, let me put this up here, in Romans 10:19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you. Remember that it said in Romans 11:11, or 12, I think it's the next verse, it talks about Israel being provoked to emulation. The Lord said to Moses, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. They're not Spanish, they're not Jewish, they're not Arabic, the Greeks were not a nationality. They were called that because they sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. They were not a people. I will provoke you by those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now that is a nation. That's that little nation that came out of the big nation of Israel. That little nation called the little flock. And even when Christ was still alive, he told them in Matthew 21:43, I think it is, that he was taking the kingdom away from apostate Israel. And then in Luke 12:32, he tells them he's giving it unto the little flock. I don't know, should we take the time? Let's go ahead and look at those verses. I think Matthew 21:43. Getting it here. I think that's the verse. I got the wrong reference there. Hold on. We'll get it. 21:40. Is it in the text there? There it is. Good. Thanks. Whoever put it, Vic, thank you. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Talking to those hypocrites and the Pharisees. It shall be taken to you and given to a nation. Not nations, it's not Gentiles he's talking about there. Given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Who was believing Israel? The believing part of Israel, the remnant. And if we look in Luke 12:32. Fear not. This is Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember, the flock is not Gentiles. Gentiles are never referred to as sheep. It's Israel that were, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, the sheep. Israel is all that they knew about Jesus dying for. Brings forth the fruits. That's right. Yeah, that would be the little flock. Peter, James, John, the 12 apostles and those followers. So Peter also agreed, using the keys of the kingdom, to bind himself to go to the circumcision. And we'll look at a couple verses about that. Look at Matthew 16:19, where Jesus tells him, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Just a second, please. So, Peter, while loosing himself from his commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and binding that over the heathen, over for Paul to go to, is what we're going to look at here in Galatians 2, verse 9. Galatians 2:9 tells us, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that's Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen. Well, that's who God sent them to, Christ had, that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Not to all the world anymore, to the circumcision, the true circumcision. Those that had believed and joined that little flock and were meeting together in the Church of God in Jerusalem. In other words, they were not going to evangelize anymore. They were going to minister to the circumcision, to their own group. Well, what about Paul's epistles to us? All Scripture is inspired of God, by God. The words of Scripture are inspired. And all 66 books of the Scriptures are profitable to us, and they're to be studied. Let's look at those verses together about that. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. Is there sound? I think I lost my sound. Can anyone hear me? Okay, there is still sound. Good. The verses, again, 2 Timothy 3, verses 15, 16, and 17, and that from a child. A little background first. This is Apostle Paul talking to the one he's brought up in the faith. He's mentored, discipled, you might call it. I associate that word with Israelites, though, believing Israelites. But Timothy, he calls him like a son in one place. He says that, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Well, what scriptures would Timothy have known in his childhood before he ever heard of Paul? Before, you know, that would have had to have been the Old Testament, in other words. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. You see, that's what he's saying. He's not saying that are able to make you saved. He says they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. But they didn't know about the salvation through faith in Christ Jesus before Paul was saved that way they knew about the covenants, the law, keeping the law, getting circumcised, that whole list of things they had to do, including believing that Jesus was the Messiah, which is the one point they failed at. They did. That's where they failed, and they fell, not believing that he was, that Jesus was the Son of God, sent to them, the Messiah of the Old Testament. They put him on a cross. But going on, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So there, the good works obviously follow the person being a man of God, reading the Scriptures. That it's not talking about salvation here. It's not talking about good works to salvation. It's talking about good works from salvation. So, but when we're reading the Bible to find God's information and conditions and special instructions that God placed Israel under during Israel's prophecy program, then we need to go to the books of Genesis through Acts 8, as well as Hebrews through Revelation. But when we're reading the Bible to find God's information and instructions that are specifically to us and to all people, after the fall of Israel, then we need to go to Paul's 13 epistles to find out what God says to us today. Again, Galatians 1, verses 11 to 12, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, but I," he says, "for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." And we read before how his focus later on was narrowed to go to the heathen, and Israel was narrowed to strictly ministering unto the circumcision. Galatians 2:9. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So when you read a book that's by James, Cephas, that's Peter, or John, or any of the 12 apostles, Matthew, or Mark, well, he wasn't one of the 12, but Jude, who are they writing to? It says they, the James, Cephas, and John, would go unto the circumcision. They're writing instructions for Israel. Israel has fallen. They've been cast away at the end of Acts. Blinded and cast away. And you can read about that in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And then look at the results. What happened after they were cast? They were cast away. You can see the result throughout the last 1,800 and 1,900 years of history. Right there in the Scriptures, in Isaiah 6, verses 11 and 12, following that casting away curse. Again, let's look at the Scripture. We're going to close with these Scripture verses here, because the Scripture is what counts. You can listen to me all day, and it makes not a bit of difference, but these Scripture verses are the things to cling to. Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, Paul's sending to us. That's our door of entrance, the way that we got to hear the salvation message. And it starts out, verse 17, "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And we are to study. We are to study these scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And one final verse, Paul telling that he did finally get to go, not just to Jews and Greek Gentiles, but to all the Gentiles. 2 Timothy 4:17, Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Interesting that he says that just as they were ready to take him, to execute him. Earlier in the chapter, he states some comments that make it sound like the man is just waiting for Paul to lay down his pen to take him to the execution. So, what do we know? We know we need to believe the scriptures, believe God, believe what he wrote in the King James Bible. We need to study it, to be filled with faith about it, to believe it. And we know that God does save those who believe that Christ, he saves them instantly, those that believe that Christ died for their sins and rose again for their justification, to make them right with God. All right, we'll close here.